Jesus is Lord. What a wonderful way to begin our time of worship together. Would like to welcome everybody to Flat Springs Baptist Church. Excited for our morning together as the church for worship. If you are with us, whether it's your first time, if you've been several times before, we would like to share some information with you. The best way we know to do that is to have you fill out a guest card that is located in the pew directly in front of you. You could fill that out, place it in the offering plate. We would like to share some more information about how God is at work through our church this time. We're going to start things off this morning with a responsive reading. I'm going to have a word of prayer before that, but I want to give you some instructions so we can have that flow smoothly. You will see in there, it's Judges 6, verses 1 through 10. To begin our focus on the Word this morning, we are going to focus on a rather lengthy passage of Scripture, but we're going to break it up into three different sections to hopefully allow us to understand and grasp everything that's happening in this passage. You'll see that the first 10 verses will be our responsive reading this morning. And the way we're going to do that is this. I'll read the first two verses. You'll read the following two verses. I'll read the next two, and so on and so forth. So I'll have 1 through 2. You'll have 3 through 4. I'll have 5 through 6, 7 through 8, until we have finished those 10 verses. So I'm making sure you have time to have your Pew Bible. That will be the version we will be reading from, unless you already have an English Standard Version Bible. And turn to Judges chapter 6. I'll have a word of prayer for us here as I see everyone turning to their places in their Bible, and then I'll ask everyone to stand during the responsive reading. But for now, let's bow our heads and have a moment of prayer. God, we pray at this time asking for you to guide us as you have called us together for a specific purpose in this specific place to worship you as your church. God, we know that that brings responsibility, that brings focus for the week that is ahead, but only when we give you our attention and truly worship you. Guide us in doing that with our opportunity to be free from distraction before us, to hear your word speak through us. God, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So I'd ask everyone to stand with me at this time. Bibles turn to Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. I want us to hear the big picture. And talking this week and planning the worship service, Gary's message is going to focus on a specific part of Gideon's work through the Lord leading him in a specific sign this morning, but I want us to hear the whole picture of what's going on, and we're going to begin with these 10 verses. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds.
For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, and no sheep or ox or donkey.
For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord.
When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery.
And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. That story will continue very soon. Remain standing at this time as we continue to worship, turning in our hymnals to page 413.
Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanksgiving and praise you for our many blessings. Lord, we also remember those that are sick, who are hurting, who need our help. Be with them, Lord, and comfort them. And Lord, let us bring us back safely next week and guard over us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
so good to see you all. I love our time together, and I hope you're all ready for our trunk or treat tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So it's great to get ready to see how the Lord is leading us during our time of worship and fellowship today. I want to make sure you can all see on my phone this picture. You see the picture? That's actually a picture of Lillian when she was a small baby. Did you know that we have all at one point been babies before? You knew that, right? It's kind of hard to believe because you probably don't remember being a baby. I don't think I've met anybody that remembers being a baby, right? You're really small. But one thing I know that all babies have in common is how they tell you when they want something. They cry. That's right. Yeah, we know that. When they're hungry or thirsty or sick or tired, how's a baby going to tell you what they want? They cry, right? They don't know how else to tell you. But as you get older, you can learn how to communicate a little better about what you want and when you need things, right? And you can ask in full sentences when you want or need things. Well, this morning, we're going to read about a man named Bartimaeus who was going to ask Jesus for something. And he got Jesus' attention in a very unique way. He was yelling at him. He was yelling at Jesus and the disciples. As Jesus and the disciples were walking along one day, he wanted to get their attention from far off. And so he kept yelling at them, trying to get their attention. And as they got closer, as Jesus and the disciples got close and stood right in front of Bartimaeus, listen to what Jesus said to him when they were talking together. This is in Mark chapter 10, one verse, verse 51. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man, "Rabbi, I want to see Jesus." The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see Jesus." You see, Bartimaeus had been blind since birth. He couldn't see. And he wanted to see. And he wanted to hear that and he wanted to talk to Jesus and let him know that I want to see. And you'll learn in this story that Jesus does grant the man's sight. But the most important thing I want us to remember is when we want something or need something, we need to pray and ask Jesus. And the special thing about prayer is when we pray to Jesus and ask him when we want something or need something, he'll answer us when we listen. And when we listen to Jesus in prayer, he'll teach us how to better pray the next time and how to talk to him, just like when you get older and learn how to better communicate versus when you were a baby and crying, you'll better learn how to pray to Jesus and listen to Jesus through prayer. So this week, I want you to go back home with your parents and with your friends and ask them to read this story in Mark chapter 10 about Jesus and the blind man named Bartimaeus. And remember that if he can be so bold to ask Jesus to see again, we can definitely ask Jesus in prayer for anything we can think of. And he'll teach us how to listen. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for listening to us when we pray. God, give us your wisdom to understand when you answer us what to do next. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right, I'll see y'all next.
That was a beautiful rendition. Thank you, FSYC. Now, this next hymn, I want you to notice the order in which the author put these words. Trust me, try me, prove me. First of all, we have to trust. And then we can ask God what He wants us to do. And then we can see the proof in the pudding. Let's stand and sing 616, please.
The story continues, and as it continues, I want us to focus specifically on Gideon during this passage of Scripture. You'll hear some funny-sounding names and places that you may not be able to pronounce, much as myself. But I want us to focus on Gideon because there's an interesting interaction between Gideon and the Lord. And I want us to ask ourselves, how would you react? How would you react if you were Gideon in this position? Listen now to Judges 6, 11 through 35. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizurite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you, and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay here till you return." So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and the broth he put in a pot, and he brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes, and put them on this rock, and pour the broth over them." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rocks and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. That night the Lord said to him, "Take your father's bull and the second bull 7 years old and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the Asherah that is beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold here with the stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down." So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down and the Asherah beside it was cut down. And the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" And after they searched and inquired, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." Then the men of the town said to Joash, "Bring out your son, that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down." Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal. That is to say, "Let Baal contend against him, because he broke down his altar." Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet him. There's much going on in this story, and I'm looking forward to it continuing as the Lord continues to bring a word to us. But now at this time, if you would take out your bulletin, as Gary brings before us some prayer concerns and a pastoral prayer.
Thank you, Matt. What an interesting story we're reading. Hopefully finding ourselves in the midst of the story. As you look at your bulletin, there are prayer needs there. I've got one report I do want to share with you. Betty Hurley is at Moore Regional Hospital. They have determined that she is having strokes. They're changing medication. We need to be lifting Betty up in our prayers. Also not on your list is Prentice Jackson. Prentice is in the hospital at Central Carolina Hospital. Several major health issues going on in Prentice's life. We need to be remembering him as well. He is in room 342 at Central Carolina Hospital. You'll see the other names. Some of them are in worship with us today. And we want to continue to remember all of those. And we especially want to remember the family of Lenore Seagrove. A special lady, a special celebration for her life yesterday at her church. And she was a significant part of our church as well. And we love her and we'll miss her. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you that in the midst of us asking sometimes, "Lord, what's happening?" If you're in the midst of us and all this bad is all around us, and Lord, there is bad all around us. We've just got a list of names of folks who are struggling with bad things. People we love dearly, dearly, Lord. And we ask, God, that you might bless each need that is on this list and on our heart. God, would you continue to guide us in our worship? For there is much to do in the land of Deep River in Sanford and Lee County, as there was in the land of Midian. And God, you just need a few faithful, and you can do great things. May we be counted among the faithful. In Jesus' name we ask. Thank you, choir. Come, as Jesus is calling for us, what a tremendous challenge for us today. Well, I'm pretty sure your Bibles are open to Judges chapter 6, and why don't we read the rest of the story, verses 36 through 40. I guess the most famous part of this story, the part that we all know, we may know what it means to cast down a fleece, a wool blanket, to get a sign. Are we looking for a sign from God today? Gideon was a slow learner. Can you imagine saying, God, would you wait right here? I'll be right back. And God said, I'll wait. I wonder if sometimes I might have said, God, would you wait right here? I'll be back. Might not be today. Might not be next week. I'll be back. And then God gave him that tremendous receiving of the offering that he brought and set it on fire. And that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough for Gideon. He still didn't have all he needed. He reminds me of me. Maybe he reminds you of you. Then he asked for the sign of the fleece. If you're able, would you stand as we read the last portion of God's Word? Judges 6, verses 36 through 40. Then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you've said, behold, I'm laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry all around the ground, then I'll know then that you'll save Israel by my hand, as you've said. And so it was. When he rose early next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung out dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Remember what he said, I'll know then. Look at verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test once more with the fleece. He does sound like me. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and all the ground let there be dew. And a patient God. Patient God. And God did so that night. And it was dry on the fleece only. And on all the ground there was dew. May God add his blessing and grant us understanding. Would you pray with me? God, would you give us the sign in worship today of your presence as you've already done. As we've already experienced your power in the reading of your word, in the singing praises, in the anthems from FSYC and from our choir. Would you speak now through your most holy word as you direct our thinking and make application for our living? In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've kind of framed how we sometimes don't get it. And it's usually framed in this kind of terminology. Well, the Lord must be coming back soon. Because things just can't get much worse. Well, the Lord is coming back. And every moment is sooner. Do we ever wonder if God is really with us? I was reading some this week and, I was challenged by a thing I read. It said most of us really want Christ to give us his love, grace, and mercy, but not many of us want to die to self and put on Christ. I don't think I prayed. Well, Actually, I did begin to pray after I read that the third time. And pondered and was a little bit afraid like Gideon was. But I wonder today if we might pray that prayer, Lord, would you let me go away and you increase? Could it be more of you and less of me? Could I, as Paul talks in Colossians, say to put to death the flesh that Christ may rise? That's a whole different idea, isn't it, than just tacking a little Jesus alongside us. And that's what I'm guilty of. How about you? Just a little Jesus. Just a little Jesus. Maybe an hour a week or two or three. Maybe four. Maybe I'm really devoted. I'll give 5 or 6 hours a week to think about Jesus. There's an interesting verse, and one of the reasons I wanted to read the whole story today was because I wanted to get verse 10 in there. In Judges 6:10, after the people are saying, "Why, oh God, why has all this fallen down on us? Why is it so bad? Why are things so terrible?" Have you ever asked that question? Why are things so bad? Here's verse 10. I don't even want to read it. I don't often like to hear it. He sends a prophet. And here's the pronouncement the prophet made. "I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you've not obeyed my voice." You've not obeyed my voice. There's Gideon. The run of the litter, he calls himself. In the least family in all of Manasseh, he says. While we're the most insignificant, and I'm the most insignificant in a family of insignificant people. But I bet nobody, or at least not many of us, when you heard the name Gideon, had not heard it before. In fact, you may know an organization called the Gideons who go about putting Bibles in motels and to the military and schools and hospitals, wherever they can get the Word of God out. They carry his name because we know that Gideon will rally all those people in the next chapter, some 35,000, to go up against 175,000. Doesn't sound like good odds to me, especially in the kind of warfare they fought back then. But then, if you remember, keep reading, and God will reduce the number of 35,000 down to 300. As though God was saying, "Gideon, I don't want there to be any doubt in your mind. I don't want there to be any doubt in Israel's mind. I don't want there to be any doubt in Flat Springs Baptist Church's mind that the battle is mine. I'll win the battle. I'll win the battle." And yet, like Gideon, "God, will you wait right here? I'll be back." And God, that was a great sign, the way you just, that angel, I mean, an angel came. That wasn't enough for Gideon. Tells him what to do, waits on him. He comes back, he touches it with his staff. It consumes it in a miraculous fire. That wasn't enough. Throws the fleece down one time, waits a whole day. That's not enough. And yet Gideon is transformed. Does anybody today need to be transformed by the power of God? I wonder if our homes would be different. I think they would. I wonder if work would be different tomorrow. I wonder if folks would say, "You all right? Something wrong with you? Why? Why do you ask?" Because you're different. You're different today. That'd be a great question, wouldn't it? looking for signs. That's our nature, isn't it? We talked this past Wednesday night about the difference between faith and proof. And the world is telling us that without proof, that you shouldn't have faith in anything. And the Bible says, don't worry about proof, just have your faith. Don't walk by sight, walk by faith. So we kind of put one foot in this world and one foot in this world. And we feel like a wishbone on Thanksgiving turkey about to be broken in half. Curious as to who will get the bigger half. Yeah, they forgot about their disobedience. I wonder if we've forgotten about our disobedience. But he transitions. He transitions, Gideon. And I think he wants to do that to us. In fact, transition's not strong enough. He wants to transform him. He wants to change him. And he does. He changes him from a coward to the one in charge. From this least to the most important, to the most significant. A judge that will be recorded as one of the great leaders in Israel's history. He'll be repeated in Gideon as one of the great men of faith. And yet the story shows he has very little faith. Like us. Like me. Maybe like you. From a coward. We get a little hint into it. And when he says that he was threshing the wheat in a wine press, because that wasn't where you were doing it. Sometimes being a coward's smart, because the Midianites, if they found that wheat, you know what they'd have done, right? They'd have taken it, and they may have taken his life. But he doesn't seem to be a real brave guy when he tears down the altar that God told him to do. He decided to do that at night because he was still afraid. What are we afraid of? Have you ever started a sentence with, I'm afraid I can't do that because. I'm afraid I can't do that. What are we afraid of today? Are we like 5-year-old Johnny who was in the kitchen and his mama said, I need you to go downstairs to the pantry and get me a can of tomato soup. But he didn't want to go alone. He says, it's dark down there and I'm scared of the dark. She said, oh, you'll be okay. You know, Jesus, he'll be down there with you. Johnny walked hesitantly to the door. Slowly he opened it. He peeked inside at the darkness. And then he said, Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me a can of tomato soup? And that's kind of like me. Jesus says, go into the darkness in faith. Go, go. You can do it. You can make a difference in your neighbor's life. You can make a difference in your family. You can change some things. And I'm saying, oh, it looks so dark. It looks so dark. Jesus, just hand it to me. I don't need to go. I don't want to go. Fear can keep us from being in charge. Being in charge of the things that God puts us in charge of. God's put you in charge of some things. God's put me in charge of some things. He's entrusted to us. We call ourselves stewards. We sang about giving our time, our talent, our energy. We're stewards of what God has entrusted to us. We're in charge of that because God's made us in charge. But fear can keep us from doing, or fear can make us do some things we might not really need to do. I love the story, one of my favorite stories. I've told it to you before, but hear it again. About the two guys, an older fella and a younger fella. And you know, riding together, they were checking the meters of the natural gas, and they kind of had a rough time. They'd had a couple explosions in the town where the gas lines broke. And so they hired this new guy, and he was being trained by the older guy. And as happens sometimes when you're riding along, you start talking about things, and especially guys, you can probably catch what I'm fixing to say. They start talking about who could run the fastest. You know, you ever had that conversation? Well, you know where this was going, won't they? So they're walking down the alley. They're checking the meters. And they get to the end of the alley. And finally, the older gentleman says, I just don't believe you can outrun me. He says, I tell you what, it's about 200 yards back to the truck. I'll race you. And so off they go. And I mean, they are boogity, boogity, boogity. They are running. And when they get to the truck, all of a sudden they look behind her, and there's a lady, and she's just huffing and puffing. And they said, "Ma'am, what in the world's wrong?" She says, "I don't know, but when I see two gas men running away from my house, I figure it's time to run." Is it time? Has God been leading us some places? Has the world told us to run, and we don't even know why we're running? We're just running. We're afraid. We're afraid not to go with the world. We're afraid not to do what everybody's doing. We're afraid to be different. We're afraid to step out in faith. We're the least. We're the most insignificant. How could we? God wants us to take charge of some important things in our life. Kingdom things. Moms and dads, your kids, oh, they need you. They need you to be in charge of their spiritual walk. Flat Springs Baptist Church. What kind of church is it? I'll tell you what kind. It's exactly the church you and I make it. It's as good as we are, and it's as bad as we are. It can do as much as we're willing to allow God to do through us when we're faithful to be in charge of what He's entrusted to us. And it can be as weak as the Israelites in front of the Midianites when they were walking in disobedience. It's up to us. Not only did He change him from a coward to in charge, He changed him from a common man to a God-called man. Gideon thought God had chosen the wrong person. You ever feel like God's chosen the wrong person? I love the story of Pepper Rogers, who was a coach a few years back. He was one of those coaches. He got to the Orange Bowl once with Kansas. And they called him at UCLA after he had done that. And his first year, he went 2-8. Didn't have a great year at UCLA. And during that year, nobody liked him. Nobody liked him. He brought the wishbone kind of offense, and folks didn't believe in it. It hadn't worked before, and they didn't know why this new coach was changing. Well, here's his words from his autobiography. He said, "Nobody in Southern California would hang out with me. My dog was the only true friend," Roger said that year. "I told my wife," he said, "every man needs at least two good friends," so she bought me another dog. It was a tough time. But I love what he said in the midst of that adversity. God calls us. He's not calling the wrong person. He ain't called the wrong church. He ain't called the wrong time. God knows what He's doing. Roger said, "In the midst of that adversity, when the players at UCLA were having difficulty adapting to the wishbone offense he had installed, the school's alumni demanded that he adopt another system. But Rogers wouldn't budge. The wishbone," he said, and listen to this quote, "it's like Christianity. If you believe in it only until something goes wrong, you didn't believe in it in the first place." It's a pretty powerful quote. Let me read it again. "It's like Christianity. If you believe in it only until something goes wrong, you didn't believe in it in the first place." Do we really believe? Are we really people of faith? God wants to change the common folks in Deep River into godly men and women, godly boys and girls, godly young people that can change this community. I believe that because I believe the God we love. Is there something we need to do that might make us unpopular, that might bring adversity, that might bring people to say, "Why are you doing that? I can't believe you're not going there. I can't believe you're not going to do that. Everybody's doing it. You surely ought to do it." Are we brave enough to leave the common way and go the God-called way? It's an important question. Finally, did He change the common man to a call? Did He change a coward to the one in charge? He changed a caster of the fleece to the commander-in-chief. He put him in charge, and he won the war. Are we looking for a sign today from God? Oh, I love some of the comedian that Bill
Ingeval does. Here's your sign. Does that say anything to you? You know what he's doing? He has his theory that if, I won't use the word he calls, but let's just say people who might be challenged, that if they had a sign, we could help them. He said it was like he moved from Texas to California, and one day his house was full of boxes. There was a U-Haul in the driveway, and one of his friends came by and said, "Oh, are you moving?" He said, "No, we just pack up our stuff twice a week, see how much could go in a box." Have you ever said something? Say, one day I pulled into the dock and had a whole stringer full of bass. The guy was on dock said, "Man, y'all catch all those?" We said, "No, we just talked them into giving up." We didn't catch them. You know, do we sometimes wonder, do we really wonder? You ever ask God a dumb question? I wonder what it would be like if instead of asking God for a sign, he might say, "What's your sign? What sign will you give me that you love me with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your soul and your neighbor as yourself? What sign will you give me?" Gideon cast the fleece twice. I understand it. I don't get mad at Gideon. I understand it. In the text I used last Wednesday night was Thomas. You remember Thomas? Thomas of Didymus. But that's not how you remember him. You don't remember him as Thomas of Didymus. You know how you remember him? Doubting Thomas. That's who he's famous for, isn't it? Doubting Thomas. Everybody know Doubting Thomas? Remember the story? It's right after the resurrection, and the disciples are in the upper room. And Thomas isn't there. You never know what you miss when you miss church. Amen? You never know what you miss when you miss church. What if God had the life-changing word today for you in this worship service, and you're not here? You didn't get it. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. What we do here is important. It's vitally important. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it because we're called by God to worship the living true God and to come Sunday after Sunday to hear what he says. Thomas, he missed. I don't know why. The disciples said, "Oh, God came. Jesus came. Jesus was in church last night and you missed it." "I don't believe it. I don't believe it," Thomas said. Remember what he said? He said, "I tell you what, y'all keep talking all this foolishness. I'll tell you how I'll believe it. When I can take this finger and stick it through the nail print in his hand, I'll believe it. When I can take this fist and I can shove it in the hole in his side, then I'll believe it." That's what Thomas said. Thomas kind of like Gideon right there. He's casting a fleece. But oh, what happened? The Bible says 8 days later when they were all in the upper room and Thomas was in church this time with the disciples. And the Lord came. He walked in the room. He invited, didn't he? Walk in the room. Door's locked, it says. He just got in the room. That's a Jesus thing. He walked straight up to Thomas. Didn't say hey to anybody. He went straight nose to nose to Thomas. And I don't know the tone of Jesus' voice. The side thrust away. Is Jesus nose to nose with us today? Does he have a word for us today? Are we in charge of being the godly people that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood, that we might be? Gideon became the commander in chief. Oh, I think Flat Springs will be a different church if we all in our own home, in our own life, in our own walk with God would become commander-in-chief and say, "God, no longer will I be a coward. No longer will I be common. No longer will I be casting fleece. But from this time forward, I will be following you. I'll take charge of what you have called me to do. And I'll be commander-in-chief under your direction. And I will do what you need me to do. Oh, Deep River be turned upside down. Glad Springs be turned upside down. Homes be turned upside down for the Lord. Woo! That's exciting. Gideon. Sometimes in a wicked world, I need a life-changing event, and reading Gideon might just be it. What does God need to change in us? Would you bow your heads with me? And as we pray, talk to God. Heavenly Father, we've heard your word today. We don't want to walk out, although nobody might call me Doubting Gary or some other name. They may not even know, Lord, because the way our society is, you can be a doubter and nobody will even know. But you'll know, oh God. And you know right now if there's somebody here that's doubting. Doubting you in charge of their life. Doubting you being able to do all that you've given us to be in charge of, doubting that we need to be making a difference, a big difference in the lives of other people. Oh God, you took old Gideon with all his flaws, which reminds me you can take me. You were patient with Gideon. It reminds me you're patient with me. You love Gideon. It reminds me of how you love me. And you did some amazing things through Gideon. And it reminds me of what you want to do with me and each of us. As we now speak to you, will you speak to us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision, whether you need to make it publicly or privately today, is 519, Face to Face with Christ My Savior, page 519. This morning, what's God calling us to do? What's God calling you to do and me to do? Oh, to answer that question. Not between me and you, not between your family and you, but between God and us. You and God, me and God, all to answer that question as we stand together. Many of you have been praying for my daughter Becky, and I appreciate that. She texted me this morning that she is at church there in Carrboro, and their text was 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I tell you that because she and I have made a covenant that we're going to text each other a Bible verse every day. And we're going to discuss that Bible verse through our text throughout the day. Families, maybe the Lord just gave you a word. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says as we continue to make God's word powerful in our life. But thank you for remembering her in your prayers. You probably saw some yellow tape on the right hand of the building. We had an accident. It'll be fixed. Don't worry about it. But right now, we don't want anybody near it. And tonight we've got a big children's event. We'll probably have folks stationed out there. We're pretty sure it's pretty solid, but we're not going to test that theory at all. So parents, do due diligence. Talk to your children or friends before you come tonight to trunk or treat. We're going to move the car line up to this side. We'll use the back door and only the back door of the fellowship hall to go in and out of. So we won't be at this end of the fellowship hall at all. No doors will be unlocked. It won't be optional, so don't come to that end. And we think very soon we'll have that repaired. So just, again, due diligence and us being very careful around that situation. So adjusters will be here in the morning, we have been assured by our insurance company. So I do invite folks to come out tonight for trunk or treat. The meal's at 6 o'clock, and then we'll have a gathering and a time of sharing and fellowship. It's a wonderful time for us to be God's people together and to invite our community to come and be a part of that. Got 24 cars that'll be trunk or treating. And if you're over 30, you don't really need to dress up and come get candy, okay? Just so you know. But we look forward to having a good time. Kids, come and be prepared to have a fun time. Next Sunday is our homecoming, 110th anniversary. Gordon West will be our guest speaker. Covered dish that you're going to bring next Sunday after that we can share together in a time of fellowship. I hope God's house will be full on homecoming Sunday as we celebrate together His goodness to us for a century and a decade. Other announcements are in your bulletin. Sign-ups always in the atrium that you need to be involved in. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. You be in charge of us, and then let us be in charge of what You've entrusted us to be in charge of. God, we will not be common men and women, young people, boys and girls, but we will be men, women, boys and girls, and young people of valor, and we will do great things in Your name, and folks will know that You are our God. Go with us now, in Jesus' name.